Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
So hello, my name is Dr. Octavio Carrasco. I'm living in Seattle with my domestic supervisor, Anna Riki, who has a strong family connection with Holden Village. She spoke about Holden the first day I met her, and we came up here for the first time together last February for the blizzard, which, being from the mountains, I was refreshed to be able to experience all of that. And I'm coming today, recently having finished my PhD at Union Theological Seminary in the city of New York. I'm in the modern religious history field, and my dissertation is called The Long 1960s and the Religious Dimensions of Popular Music. And this week I'm offering three discussion sessions. I like discussion sessions. And the first one is on the borderlands, the Spanish-American borderlands, and the borderlands as a framework. And what I hope people will take away from this is to think a little bit more in depth about the land on which they live and the people that were on the land before them. And if you have some ancestral relationship to those people, to understand a little bit more about how to articulate our presence here and what it means. And that history is happening all the time. And that what we do matters. And what we do is going to determine where we end up. And ultimately, we are all here together, whether we like that or not. It's interesting to be in a former mining village that is now a retreat center, a spiritual retreat center, where composting is an important part of the process. Even this has some of that historical tension. My second course is on the Easter week rituals in Guatemala. I spent a year and some with the Sutuhil Maya, and was fortunate enough to watch and listen to their rituals of sacrifice that involve a certain cosmological process of renewing the earth and bringing the rain back so that they can grow the crops that sustain them and their relationship to the earth. And the way that the religious practices are a space for them to resist their own conquest and maintain some of their cultural identity through their rituals. This involves the Spanish conquest of the Americas and the imposition of Christianity, as well as the destruction of the language, of any idols, an attempt to undercut their culture, which happened across North America and South America. And in this context, the people have been able to carry on not just rituals of old, but rituals that reflect their understanding in terms of where does the sun rise and set on specific days of the year. As they explained to me, this is part of their process of helping to carry the sun across the sky and in a sense of renewal. So there's a lot there. My third topic, and closely related to my dissertation, is the religious dimensions of popular music. My main interest in this is how does music relate to periods of social change, as well as how is art an avenue for people to recreate themselves and to express things that they do not have other means to express. So I'm very interested in the role that the arts play in both resistance, the sort of rehumanization of people that have had their rights taken from them or are struggling to live a dignified life in a society that claims to honor equality for all. And the artistic process is a way for people to really express who they are, even when they feel unseen. And I also recognize that art can be a tool for complacency. It can be a tool to create cynicism among people. So there is a balance here, and I am interested in the whole spectrum of it, and try to look at what we can open up in this area. Art accompanies human culture, and you don't need to look hard to find examples when tremendously oppressive regimes used art and music to both exalt their own cultural understanding as well as to demean others. And on vice versa, I think an example is like breakdancing or graffiti. These are ways in which people, using the tools that they have on the ground, express themselves as they understand themselves to be in their own context. And there's lots of examples as well of people resisting, coding, communicating, expressing themselves. And also, as I said, part of my research deals with the civil rights movement and the freedom songs and the counterculture and rock and roll. I'm going to talk about some of that. So you point to the question, I think, of like innovation. Yeah. And the people that, this also comes with history, where we associate a specific change in style or a change in thought or a change in what is acceptable, and we relate it to a person or a moment. And I think of it more as somebody is expressing what there is space for. So people are ready to hear something. And in my own life, one of the people that did that for me was Tupac Shakur. I was 13 and I put on his second record, strictly for my N-words. And through listening to that record, I felt like he was talking to me, and that his political message, along with the rhythms and the sounds and the rhymes and the samples, that he was putting some of my experience living in America into context. And so suddenly, growing up as a mixed race kid in Colorado, it was like, wait a second, you're not all alone feeling these things. And at the same time, Tupac's, the presence of revolutionary themes in Tupac's earlier work especially, you know, this is not just entertainment. This is, it's also not just manifesto. This blurs the lines of those two things, and there's a message there if you holler, if you hear me, do you hear it? And everything that Tupac says about his own experience really deepens one's experience of this. And the other thing for me that happened very early on there was recognizing that a lot of the samples and the sounds were coming from other musicians. So like Curtis Mayfield, If There's Hell Below, We're All Gonna Go, is sampled on the, there's so many samples on the records and they all come from somewhere. And so that, for me, is part of what turned me on to the idea of the genealogy of music, where things are being expressed, people are recognizing things that are being expressed, people are trying to express the same thing in a different way or a slightly altered way. And what you have is this incredible, ever-evolving process of creativity and sound. And it's not just about celebration, it's not just about mourning. This is about human beings trying to make meaning of their lives. And that is also what I see in the Easter rituals of the Maya, and it is also what I see in the context of Borderlands America. So one of the other things that I believe is that what we have in common is greater than what makes us different. This is not to say to de-emphasize difference or diversity, is to say that we can celebrate something that we share while also recognizing the ways in which we are different and that we do think differently and we do have different cultural backgrounds. But if we come at our human interactions with a more, I don't know if open mind is the right word, but with a sense of affection or respect or as a sense of love, there's far less room for all the petty, hurtful, destructive, manipulative and exploitative things that we do in our society. And so when you think of the unity of love, it's what brings us together and what is our common ground. And furthermore, I find that if you pray with people, if you sit in on their rituals, you don't necessarily understand everything that's happening, but you come to connect with them in a different way. You see them differently. And that's what, if there's one thing that's perhaps most important, that's my goal, is to present questions and ideas in an effort to get people to talk to each other. Because, you know, as I said before, what we do matters, and how we treat each other matters. And what we do now is going to influence where we end up. Just as where we come from, and recognizing where we come from, is part of what is the basis for where we are. And it is my hope to speak drawing on that vein of what motivates me is the love of people and the love of the world, and my hope that we can find more respectful ways to live with each other in spite of our differences and because of our differences.
Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.